The following is a repeat of an earlier broadcast. Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank Big Ed for bringing up some great music there on our, I guess you could call it pre-Memorial Day program here at Freedom Works. My goodness, we're delighted to have you with us. I am Paul Malloy, and I hope that you remember during this weekend with your barbecues, picnics, or whatever else you're doing, that there are a lot of people that are not around anymore that are allowing you to have the enjoyment you are having this weekend, the brave people throughout all of the different wars and conflicts that the United States has been involved in. Anyway, it looks like the signs are good again this morning that oil spill is being stopped in the Gulf. We're going to talk about the latest on that, whether or not it's really working. And in the meantime, Barack Obama is on to the Gulf today to survey the damage. So our question is this. Is it too little too late, or is this really something that the federal government should be doing and can be doing as far as stemming this spill? We want to talk about that and gear up for a very tough hurricane season. You people that are down in the southern areas around the Gulf in particular, what should states like Florida be doing right now to be prepared? We're going to talk about the forecast and what the federal government, as opposed to the state government, as opposed to local governments, can do when hurricanes approach. And will Barack Obama possibly face impeachment hearings? Hearings over the so-called bribe to Joe Sestak to jump out of the Senate race in Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about that as well. Meantime, this is Tampa Bay's only regular ongoing libertarian program, Freedom Works. We are here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday to champion the concept of less federal government in your life. More importantly, more personal freedom and personal responsibility for you. That's what we are all about. And we're here, as we say, 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the TAN Talk Network. And we're also available from our worldwide website, thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. Please go there and find out more about the show, listen to past shows, contribute to the support of our show if you like what you hear. In the meantime, you can call us while we're on the air. Our toll-free number is 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340, or locally 727-441-3000. And finally, you want to email us? FreedomWorksEmail@yahoo.com, FreedomWorksEmail@yahoo.com. Well, we started out our program yesterday saying about the same thing I'm reading today, this morning. It's a report from British Petroleum. They're saying that the flow of oil from that broken well in the Gulf has stopped. Admiral Thad Allen, who was overseeing the work, says that the oil spill has temporarily been stopped. But BP warns it would be another 2 days, 48 hours, before it was known whether the so-called top kill procedure had been successful. Allen says the next 12 to 18 hours, very critical in the effort to stem the gusher. It's now the worst oil spill in U.S. history. The worst. It passes up the Exxon Valdez spill up in Alaska. Now, British Petroleum's chief executive officer, Tony Hayward, was on the Today show this morning, and he says the top kill attempt, which involves shooting heavy drilling mud into the blown out well, which is, as you know, about a mile beneath the water level, was proceeding pretty well. He maintains that the procedure, which has never been attempted before so deep underwater, still had only a 60 to 70% chance of working, although some of the risks have been reduced. And he says it will be another 48 hours before we know if we've met the success. Now, if this thing works, then they're going to inject cement into the well to permanently seal it. If it does not work, BP says it has a number of backup plans. Either way, crews are going to continue to drill two relief wells, which apparently take the pressure out of that oil spilling out from the ground floor. They consider that the only surefire way to stop the leak. In the meantime, Barack Obama took the heat yesterday. He held his news conference, and about 90%, almost all the questions, all but about two of the questions, were about the Gulf oil spill and what the government is doing or not doing. And talk about threading a needle, if you watched it. Obama wanted to make sure that he could blame British Petroleum and the whole concept of big oil as not being responsible enough and the cause of the problem. At the same time, he says, I, as president, and our administration takes full responsibility. So I guess it's okay to blame somebody else for what happened and make sure that you keep pointing fingers at them while you say, but, you know, I'm in charge here. Well, a lot of people are not buying it. And right now, I would tell you that Obama is probably getting more fire than even Bush, President Bush, did during Katrina. I think it's gotten that tough on him right now. Because nobody could blame Bush for the hurricane. They could blame him, even though it might be unfair to do so, for how people responded in the government to the hurricane. But in this case, people are not only blaming Obama and the federal government for the response, many are blaming him for the cause, that we have not been regulating big oil enough. And if we had only been there to regulate them more, this would never have happened. Well, I would respectfully disagree with that. Do you know how many regulations there are on oil companies? There is probably, maybe you can count on one hand the number of people that know all of the regulations that are now upon big oil for how they can work and do what they can do. Maybe not even that. There might not be anybody that really knows all of the rules. And that's one of the problems. We have so many rules on top of other rules, and many of the rules that we have contradict the other rules. You don't know really anymore what's right and what's wrong. You don't know all the regulations. And BP and all the other big oil companies have full-time people on their staffs that are supposed to be reading all of the regulations and making sure that they follow all of the regulations. I'm not defending British Petroleum, by the way, nor am I defending the other two companies that were involved in the rig oil explosion by any means. They should pay completely for all of this. And there will be lots of bills. And they made a mistake. And somebody didn't do something right. There's no question about it. There were mistakes that were made. Hopefully we learn from them. But the question then becomes, what does the federal government, what can it do? And I'm no defender of Barack Obama, believe me. But when somebody comes along that says the government should be doing more in your life, and then something like this happens, you realize how little the government, particularly the federal government, can really do. They talk about, well, there's so many different things that the federal government should make British Petroleum do to get this thing stopped. I venture to say that British Petroleum knows more about getting it stopped than anybody else outside of that arena. Now, there are lots of people with lots of ideas. In fact, I heard somewhere that there have been like 6,000 or 7,000 different ideas that have been sent. Now, whether they are sent directly to the government and to some particular department in the government, or whether they are sent directly to British Petroleum, think about it. How can you possibly act or try to act on all of those different ideas? Some of them, are, of course, are harebrained. I heard somebody, believe it or not, Big Ed, you'll get a kick out of this. I heard somebody this morning, I listened to C-SPAN, because I like to hear what, you know, the I guess the common, you know, people like you and me have to say about what's going on, politics. Somebody called in and said, why don't they set off a nuclear explosion at the bottom? A mile, you know, it's a, what, 5,000 feet down. He said that if we set off a nuclear explosion, a small nuclear explosion down there, that somehow that explosion would cover the oil spill. And I was thinking, oh, that would be nice. We set off a nuclear, what amounts to a nuclear bomb just off the coast of Louisiana. I'm just wondering, could that possibly affect things badly around the environment?
This is probably the same person that throws gasoline on a barbecue.
Yeah.
The stuff floating on top, that's flammable.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wouldn't that work great? A nuclear bomb?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not to mention that the seafloor would be just nothing but sand for miles and miles and miles and miles.
Let's see, how many fish could we kill, do you think, if we set off a nuclear explosion down there?
Fish, dolphins, whales.
Everything that grows.
We can't, like, tell them all to get out in the next 48 hours. Yeah. We can only do that with Iran.
I tell you, it's funny. What was just as funny is that the moderator of the program sits there with a straight face listening to it. Anyway, so you get all kinds of harebrained schemes, and you get some good ones, too. And if you say you're going to be all things to all people, as a progressive kind of a government does, a government that wants to take more control of your life, first of all, you find out that they can't do it. They cannot do it. And these are the kinds of things that prove just that. But what happens is great expectations from the public, right? So now it all turns on you, as it has on the Barack Obama administration. And you have him up there. I'm going to tell you that listening to him try to defend the administration and at the same time point fingers at Big Oil and British Petroleum, really, I started to almost feel sorry for him. And I'm going to have to admit, one of the things that crossed my mind is he is out of his league in this job. That he's really out of his league. I can start to see the loss of control that is coming now. And even the mainstream media is starting to turn on him a little bit when it comes to this particular situation. There is so much frustration. We've all heard about some of the big supporters, big Democratic supporters that are turning on him now, including, and his name escapes me, but he's married to Mary Madeline. He's the liberal political consultant. The bald-headed guy down that lives in Louisiana. Anyway, they've even got a YouTube of him, if we could find it. I can't even think of his name to tell you who it is, Big Ed, but...
well, that would help.
I wouldn't it?
I mean, if I just punch up Barack Obama, disappoint
what
somebody...
Is his, we'll remember his name in just a moment, but I'd like to... If I remember his name, we're gonna try and find that audio of the video... He just went out of his mind. attacking the administration for its lack of effort. Anyway, let's do this. We're going to take a short break. There's more to talk about as far as the oil spill, but another pending possible problem is the very severe hurricane season coming to us, and we will talk about that as well.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Let's face it, life doesn't take days off, and now neither do we. Introducing 7-day service at all 12 AutoWay Tire and Service Centers. Now you can get your vehicle serviced by factory-trained technicians 7 days a week. It doesn't matter what you drive. The AutoWay Tire and Service Centers are equipped to service and repair virtually every make and model. Plus, AutoWay guarantees the lowest service prices. And right now, we're celebrating our new 7-day schedule by offering 7 service items under $20. That includes oil changes, tire rotations, wiper blades, and more. Each for under $20. So whether you need service Monday through Friday or Saturday and Sunday,
who are you going to call? AutoWay!
Get 7-day service at all 12 AutoWay Tire and Service Centers. Plus, for a limited time, 7 service items for under $20. For locations or to schedule your next appointment, visit AutoWayService.com. That's AutoWayService.com.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution. Anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or a debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
This is Brian Cash of the Brian Cash Clause Radio Show. We're on every Monday between 3 and 4, and what we do is sponsor small businesses such as
Boss Cuts on the corner of Bel Air and Belcher.
Every week, Mondays, 3 to 4 p.m., please tune in. You can receive valuable deals. A lot of people think that the BCC magazine stands for Brian Cash Clause. It actually stands for the best coupon company. This radio show is where it really pays to listen.
Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works again on this Memorial Weekend. We're playing a little bit of what we would call patriotic music, and well-deserved for all of those that have served in the armed forces, all of them, for our country. Well, you know, we've been talking about the disaster down in the Gulf. What about the natural disasters of hurricanes like Katrina? And what is coming for this hurricane season? Well, it doesn't look good, my friends. For those of us that are on the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, and along the seaboard, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, has issued its hurricane season forecast. And it says it's going to be one of the strongest, worst seasons on record. Now, typically, the hurricane season begins June 1. What's that coming up in 3 or 4 days, right? It lasts through November 30th. So it's a six-month season. That's when about 90% of the storms make themselves present. Here's the prediction. As many as 23 named storms, 23 during the Atlantic hurricane season. And of those 23, 3 to 7 of them become serious enough to be classified as major hurricanes. Now, anything that reaches 39 miles an hour or higher becomes a named storm. And the agency, NOAA, says as many as 14 could turn into hurricanes. 14. That would be with winds in excess of 74 miles an hour. And of those 14, as many as 3 to 7, could be high category storms, 3, 4, or 5 categories. That would be with winds of at least 111 miles an hour. So the question is, what does the federal government and what can they do if a huge storm, God forbid, like Katrina, bears down on a major city again? And what should state and local governments be doing? One of the things we talked about back when Katrina occurred was the fact that the federal government is the furthest away from the problem, is it not? And I don't mean geographically. I mean in every sense of the word. It's your local governments and your state governments that are there in the midst of what's going on. And they are the first responders, are they not? Major cities on the coast, like New Orleans, and here in Tampa Bay, for that matter, or any major city on the ocean, have to realize that there's always the chance that they're going to get hit. So they've got to be prepared. And the first thing I thought about when the flooding occurred in New Orleans and all of the tragedy there was, what was the local government of the parish that New Orleans is in, and the city government and the state government, what had they been doing all of these years to prepare for something like this? New Orleans itself is a city that is actually built below sea level, if you ever read up on it. That means that they have to have all of these locks. Now, they're not directly, by the way, if you look, they're not directly on the Gulf. The city of New Orleans is up just a little bit north of the Gulf, but it's got Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River surrounding it. And then just a few miles south, of course, you got the Gulf. They're surrounded by water. And they've got these locks which keep the city, which is kind of like a bowl, you know, an empty bowl with water around it. Picture that. Now, if you're built like that, shouldn't you be sure that if something like this ever occurs, that you're ready for it? But instead, we started reading about how President Bush and the federal government just wasn't prepared. And I was thinking to myself, well, if that's the case, every single time there is an emergency somewhere with a major flood or earthquake or hurricane or whatever, are we going to blame the federal government? It doesn't work that way in reality. Now, Obama and the Democrats right now are being hoisted on their own petard. They are reaping the effects of saying that the federal government should be providing all kinds of things to all kinds of people. It will never, never work out that way. Here in Florida, if you remember, several years back, 4 or 5 years ago, we got hit by, at one point, 3 hurricanes, one after another, came marching through the state. It was under the administration of Jeb Bush. And I mean, we had lots of trouble all over the place. Now, fortunately, it didn't whack a major city like New Orleans, but I'm reminded that I didn't hear Jeb Bush screaming at Washington for its lack of work. And that's because, with all due respect, Jeb Bush and the administration and the state of Florida really did a great job, in my opinion. I mean, sure, there was trouble, but they got to work on it right away. Now, what the government could do and what they did do, and that, I mean the federal government, was after things had settled down, there was financial aid that was routed through the federal government back to homeowners through FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Act. As a libertarian, I'm not even sure that that's a good thing. But at least it was not the federal government that was blamed for not being a first responder to the problem. And of course, here in Florida, people are already aware that they have to be personally responsible for what happens and gear up, keep their homes prepared. And generally, the state of Florida handles all of these things pretty well. No state has been hit worse overall for hurricanes than Florida. I mean, we stick out there like a big nose, ready to take the hit for all of those storms that come wending their way westward in the Atlantic and around into the Gulf. Whether it's the Panhandle or Miami area or wherever it goes. And so the state and local governments do gear up around here. And the truth is that they can do a quicker and more effective job. And that's really what it's all about. Anyway, let's do this. We'll take our second break. And we're going to come back and talk about this ongoing creeping problem regarding Joe Sestak and the possible job offer from President Obama and the administration. Is it an impeachable offense? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The Rays on the radio! This is the Rays Report with Rich Herrera.
The Rays changed their socks on Thursday. The Red Sox left town. White Sox come to town. Different reaction tonight from the Rays. The offense gets going early. Carl Crawford gets the Rays on the board in the first inning.
Here's a swing and a long high drive in the right center field. Headed towards the Ray Tank. Does it have the distance? This one is off the Ray Tank. Home run!
The Rays also get a home run from Evan Longoria.
Here's a swing and a long drive to left field. Way up there. Pierre back to the wall. It's good. Home run.
That's Longo's 10th homer of the season. Hank Blaylock comes up with a big 2 RBI base hit to give the Rays a 5-1 victory as Jeff Niemann picks up his 5th win of the year. Coming up tonight, Rays back in action. Chicago still in town. David Price versus Freddie Garcia. 6:30 pregame, 7:10 first.
Catch the Rays all season long on the Rays Radio Network. For tickets, log on to RaysBaseball.com.
Rays Baseball on WDCF 1350.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution. Anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Attention Tampa Bay Auto Sales and Service Professionals. Here's your chance to get the word out direct to your customers. The Deals on Wheels radio program broadcasts here on Tantalk 1340 AM, Fridays noon to 1 p.m. Get the word out prime airtime, the day before your high-volume weekend. Prime airtime is still available for you, so give your host, Mark, a call at 727-424-1216 and reserve time now. Again, that's Mark at 727-424-1216. Come on in and let's make some Deals on Wheels.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy. Thank you so very much for being with us. I hope you are going to enjoy this Memorial weekend. And we talked earlier about the even some of the Democrats turning on President Obama with his reaction or lack thereof to the Gulf oil spill. Well, James Carville was the guy whose name I was trying to think of. And he's been on a host of programs recently talking about what's going on. Now, Carville is from Louisiana. He's a Democratic consultant who, by the way, ironically, is married to a Republican consultant, Mary Madeline. And he went on George Stephanopoulos's program, was interviewed by him, and we're going to, Big Ed has found the cut. We're going to play it. It's Stephanopoulos asking Carville about the government's plan B.
Man, I hope so, Josh, because the political stupidity at S is just unbelievable. Here you have a situation where you have some working, 11 working, hardworking people blown up as a result of corporate malfeasance and maybe criminal negligence, as a result of inept bureaucrats who were part of the, you could even actually blame the previous administration for this, and the president doesn't get down here in the middle of this. This thing should be, his approval rating should be up 7 points right now if he'd have come down. And I have no idea of why they didn't seize this thing. I have no idea of why their attitude was so hands-off here. It's just unbelievable. Well, now I hope he sees it now, because this is very seldom you get something that's really good politics and really the right thing to do.
Well,
that is to get involved here.
The president is going down on Friday. He's announcing these tighter new regulations on Thursday. Matthew Dowd, you lived through Katrina.
That's actually one of Carville's more, I would say, controlled responses. He really went wild on one of them, but it gives you a sense of the frustration. There are other people that are in the Democratic camp that are also railing about the government's so-called lack of response. And as I say, if you sit back and think about it, what can they really do? I mean, how many cooks do we need stirring the soup before the soup becomes completely unintelligible? Well, I want to go on to something that perhaps the Obama administration has more control over, and that is the election or lack thereof of politicians. Now, you've probably heard about this Joe Sestak situation. You're probably going to get a response to a question that was put to Barack Obama. It was the last question of his press conference, and it was put to him by the Fox News correspondent, basically asking him if Joe Sestak, who is now the Democratic nominee for the Senate seat in Pennsylvania, if Joe Sestak was offered a bribe by the Obama administration to drop out of the race so Arlen Specter could win the Democratic primary. Well, Obama said no, in so many words, no, and we're going to have an official response to that question within the next several days, is what he said. Well, it sounds like now that the Obama administration is going to put out their official response to whether or not Joe Sestak was offered a job to drop out of the race. They're going to put out their official response late this afternoon on a 3-day weekend, right? On a Friday, basically on a Friday night, as everybody is turning off the lights in the Capitol building. And then hope that all of that will ameliorate, much like the oil spill over the weekend. And then everybody comes back to Washington on Tuesday, and, oh, where are all the questions about this? Well, I'm not so sure that's going to work. And the question is, the thought is, that if they are going to put out the response on Friday night, then they might not have very much of a strong answer to this question. If they were to put this response out on Tuesday morning when everybody is back and lay it out there, then it would probably mean that they felt pretty confident about what they did or did not do. Now, there is an email from Daryl Issa. He's the congressman, Republican congressman from California. And it has suggested that the controversy over the Joe Sestak job offer could be President Obama's Watergate scandal, which could result in his impeachment. Now, in an email, Issa, who, by the way, is a ranking member on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, that means he's the highest Republican on the committee, focused on the longstanding question about the offer that Sestak was made. Now, the email says that if it's true that that occurred, it would amount to three felonies: bribery, and corruption, three felony charges of bribery and corruption. Now, Sestak has suddenly become very silent. But he went on Meet the Press last Sunday to say he was definitely offered a job by the administration. He wouldn't say what the job offer specifically was, but everybody is thinking it might have been Secretary of the Navy. That's a pretty high position. Now, Issa goes on to say, this may be the way business is done in Chicago, but it's not the way things are done in our nation's capital. Well, I beg to differ, Daryl. They are definitely done that way in our nation's capital. They just don't always get published. If you don't think that other offers have been made for people to drop out of other races, then I got a bridge in the middle of Missouri that I want to sell to you. Now, again, Sestak, other than a couple of times that he's talked about the job offer, has clammed up on any details. And as we say, Obama said you're going to get a response. Well, we're waiting for it. By the way, Big Ed, hard worker that he is, has now found, I guess, perhaps the James Carville response to the administration. Oh, you have not, or you have? Oh, you've got the Joe. Oh, okay. Excuse me. I misheard. Then we've got. Is this Obama? Here's Obama. Now he's being asked this question by the Fox News reporter.
Secondarily, can you tell the American public, sir, what your White House did or did not offer Congressman Sestak to not enter the Democratic senatorial primary, and how will you meet your levels of express transparency and ethics to convey that answer to satisfy what appear to be bipartisan calls for greater disclosure about that matter?
There will be an official response shortly on the Sestak issue, which I hope will answer your questions. You will get it from my administration. So, and it will be coming out. When I say shortly, I mean shortly. I don't mean weeks or months. With respect to the first, I can assure the public that nothing improper took place. But as I said, there will be a response shortly on that issue.
At the end, very nice. I like the music at the end. Very nice. Well, I'm willing to make a small non-money wager that the response will be coming out late today. You watch. Mark my words. It'll be coming out late today instead of Tuesday morning.
I was thinking between the oil spill and the Arizona situation, somewhere in between so it gets lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, you know, there's some other things going on here, and one of them is the House has voted late last night to repeal the military ban on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in effect, allowing gays to openly serve in the armed services. The vote will repeal a 17-year-old law, and the policy permitted gays and lesbians to serve in the military so long as they did not declare their sexual orientation. Now, in exchange, the military would not inquire service members about their sexual preference. That was the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Here is Republican Congressman John Shimkus and his response to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He says this is devastating to the warfighters and the combat infantrymen. But then there are Democrats like Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, who says it did not make sense then, and it does not make sense now. It is an affront to human dignity. Now, I think that this is a very charged issue. And people feel very strongly about it, like they do about abortion, gay marriage, a couple of those kinds of things. Whether or not you agree that gayness or homosexuality is an illness or not an illness, forgetting all of that, I mean, it's always going to be with us. The question is whether or not with public money, which indeed is how the armed services is funded, with public taxpayer money, should we keep out any particular group of people? I think it's very hard to make a case that we should. Now, having said that, if you were to take a poll of the soldiers, of all the people that serve, all the grunts or whatever you want to call them that serve in the military, you would get somewhere between, I would guess, 70 to 80% of them saying that they were not comfortable with gays being in the military, just from a personal standpoint. So you can see where the armed services heads, the generals and the like, have a little bit of a problem here. They're going to have to, and also the Secretary of Defense, they're going to have to slide this thing in because it inevitably is going to pass. Barack Obama will sign the legislation. They'll try to slide it in over a certain period of time. It will not be immediately thrust upon the military. But I think eventually it will slide in there, and eventually we will all get used to it. Anyway, let's do this. Did we take our last break? I'm losing my mind here. I think we did not. Did we? Let's take our break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the other big problem, Arizona and illegal immigration.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
So, you think all water parks are created equal? Think again. Only one Orlando water park is built to give you that high-octane double-shot adrenaline rush, and that's Wet n' Wild, where it's all about the thrills. Bigger, higher, faster, with more multi-person thrill rides than any other water park around. Where else but Wet n' Wild can you experience the mind-numbing buzz of Brainwash, the hyptronic groove of the Disco H2O, or the cosmic rush of the Black Hole, the Next Generation? Right now at Wet n' Wild, Florida residents can get a full day of pulse-pounding thrills for just $32 plus tax with a valid Florida ID. So if you're looking for pure exhilaration, look no further than the park named by the Travel Channel as one of America's most extreme water parks. Wet n' Wild, in Orlando, or on the web at wetandwildorlando.com.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. This is Shauna Vercher, letting you know that I'll be hitting the airwaves Tuesdays at noon Eastern. Join me and my guests as we give you a backstage pass to the hottest topics in the media industry, the business world, and current events. I'll interview inventors, authors, executives, and even a few celebrities to give you the real story of what's happening now and what to watch for in the future. The Shauna Vercher Show, Tuesdays at noon Eastern. The most informative and entertaining way to spend your lunch hour, and it's calorie free.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and again, we're playing some, I guess you would call it, Memorial Weekend music. Let's not forget all of those that have kept us free, allowed people like me to do a radio show and talk like I do without fear. It's all of those people that guard our rights and guard our freedoms, and we can never forget them. But in particular, this weekend, we've got to think about it. You got a flag, an American flag, that you can hang outside your abode. I would strongly encourage that you do that. Well, Obama's got enough trouble with the oil spill and the health care bill and the Joe Sestak situation. They're all kind of putting him in the corner there of the pool table. But look at this. The Arizona immigration problem is getting worse and worse. He sends 1,200 unarmed National Guard troops to the border in Arizona, and he's getting nothing but flack from it. Arizona ranchers are saying that it's way too little. Now, these guardsmen and guardswomen that are going to be sent there apparently will help with what's called intelligence, reconnaissance, and drug and human trafficking along the borders, but they won't be on the front lines with the Border Patrol and the local law enforcement officials detaining illegal immigrants. So what is that all about? Sounds to me like all they're going to do is get in the way. Now, here is a quote, a comment from a rancher who was just on the border there in Arizona and Mexico, Wendy Glenn. She has roughly 4 miles of border fence. And she says having guardsmen come down and review statistics is not enough. Now, do you remember there was a rancher by the name of Robert Krenz who was murdered back in March, apparently by Mexican drug traffickers, neighbor of hers. And she's just very frustrated with the lack of response by the federal government. And here clearly is, even for a libertarian like me, this is a federal government responsibility to protect the borders. I mean, if you do nothing else as president, aren't you supposed to be making sure that our military protects our very country from people just wandering in illegally? It would seem to me that is the number one job of the president. Now, somebody was talking about the fact that Obama tends to have this little refrain down that he goes to bed at night and wakes up in the morning worrying about a particular issue. He has used that refrain on three different topics, one of which was the oil spill, a second of which was our presence in Afghanistan and overseas, and I forget the third one. But he said, you know, in each case, he goes to bed thinking about it and wakes up in the morning thinking about it because it's his number one priority. Well, I guess it is a person's number one priority if you jump from one to another all the time. But it cannot consistently be your number one priority. And so now we've got the illegal immigration situation continuing to fester in Arizona. More and more states and governors are considering legislation similar to the legislation passed in Arizona to enforce the borders. And Obama's response during the press conference yesterday to whether or not other states, other local governments outside of Arizona, like Los Angeles, should boycott Arizona. He came out to say, well, as president, I do not get in back of boycott. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something like, I do not get in back of boycotts, nor do I want to say anything to prohibit boycotts. And I was thinking, the entire state of Arizona, and he's going to say that? It's just crazy. I mean, immediately, if I lived in Arizona and I had a vote, I would say to myself, boy, I can't wait to vote when his name pops up for the re-election. To say that, it's like abandoning one of your states.
That was a Charlie Crist answer.
Yeah, Charlie Crist. Speaking of Charlie Crist, I got to bring this up. I know we're doing stream of consciousness here for the last few minutes. I'm looking at the St. Pete Times. And do you know that Charlie Crist pulled another 180-degree turn? Did you see this?
No, not yeah. Charlie.
Yeah, let me find it. He pivots on what we just were discussing, the military ban on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He changes his stance. Only 3 days earlier, Charlie Crist, the governor of California, was saying that he... he was in favor of keeping Don't Ask, Don't Tell, right? 3 days ago. But in an apparent nod to the Democrats, he said yesterday he would support repealing it. Now, that's a total 180-degree reversal from what he said 3 days earlier. He now says he would, quote, be inclined, unquote, to support a Senate compromise that would lift the ban only after the Pentagon completes a study and the president and Pentagon brass certify that the change would not hurt the military. I mean, you do not know. I don't care what you feel about the ban. You do not know where this man is going to land. He is jumping literally from one thing to another and completely, completely turning around. So that begs the question about Charlie Crist. Where is the principle in that man? Did he ever really have any principle? Is there anything he really believes? His answer is always, well, I do what the people want me to do. Not necessarily, Charlie. Perhaps you do what you want you to do. Anyway, I'm glad you brought that up. That reminded me about it.
Now is he out of office yet?
No. And he soon will be. Now, according to the latest polls that I've heard, he is still in front as an independent by several percentage points over Marco Rubio, who is the Republican nominee for the Senate seat, of Mel Martinez, who is retiring. And, of course, Chris could barely stay in the Florida governor's chair long enough to announce that he was going to be stepping out of that because he wanted to run for the Senate. But, that's fine. That's fine. But I think this guy, I don't know. If I were a betting man, and sometimes I am, by the time the November election comes along, I think he's going to be in. I think you can make a lot of commercials, and all you have to do is take Charlie Crist saying one thing one day and another thing another day. Just splice them together. You don't even have to say anything further. That's the situation with Charlie Crist. You just don't know where he's going to be. Yeah, he's got a nice tan and a nice smile, but after that, you just wonder what the guy is really thinking.
He likes to cover both sides of the coin.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, he does. Well, let's end it on this. Consumer spending, stagnant in April, weakest in 7 months. We're hoping that things get better. The stock market went up again, but it doesn't look real, real good. As far as the overall economy, we're still pretty flat, and consumer spending is the thing to watch. I hope this weekend a lot of people go out and spend some money, if they can. Go to the grocery store and buy the hot dog, go to the restaurants, you know, the whole bit. Anyway, I guess we're about out of time. We got 1 minute. Okay. Well, I want to thank Big Ed for grabbing some of those cuts that we were able to use. I hope you have a wonderful Memorial weekend. I hope you drive very safely no matter what you do. And again, please do not forget those who serve to protect our borders and those who died to protect our borders. Have a wonderful Memorial weekend. I'm Paul Molloy. We'll be back on Monday. Bye for now.
The lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New